the Southern League go live.
Oh, well, there we go. We're some other people together. Well, welcome to the Repos Non-League Show. And we're back again after a couple of weeks' break. And apologies for that, of course. Unfortunately, after our manager's view program a couple of weeks ago, my mum had a serious fall. So, of course, I was at hospital for nearly 24 hours with her. So, unfortunately, no show on that Monday. And, of course, we were away last week. But we're back with a great show this week. And we're joined by the Merthyr boys, and of course also Basingstoke manager as well, Dan as well. But just introduce everybody too. So, we've got Tom. Welcome, Tom.
Welcome. Cheers for having me.
We've got Matty as well. Welcome, Matty.
Here's Dave.
And of course Craig as well. Everybody knows Craig, of course, a good friend of the show. Welcome to you as well, mate.
Thank you, mate.
And of course to Dan as well. We're just talking pre-show, and so these fixtures, Dan. I mean, we can say it again now because everybody can hear your reply. I mean, it's going to be an interesting season. I mean, AFC Tottenham in your league, and of course the guys as well, you know, seem to have signed every superstar under in the book. But you know, are they going to win it, or is it going to go down to that Merthyr versus Basingstoke game right at the end of the season to see who the champions are?
I guess on paper they should win it, right? I think it's not just that you can spend money, but you've got to spend it wisely. And obviously, if you can bring in a player like Charlie Austin and Tom Blair and still have Scott Rendell and Tony Lee, I mean, just a ridiculous front line. And then you add into that the likes of Ostler and Charlie Kennedy. It's just such a good side. But as we've seen before, it doesn't always work out that way. So I'm a big believer in you can't just buy a league, and a lot of clubs get blamed for that when they go and do it. But there's still so many cogs in that wheel. They've got to deal with egos. They've got to deal with keeping people happy to a certain extent. Obviously, it's a lot easier when you're winning. But yeah, there'll be some side this year. And the rumors are they haven't really got going, and this is their own words. You know, they're playing in their eyes not as well as they can do, but still rolling teams over. So yeah, it's a scary thought how good they could be, but you've only got to beat them twice.
Well, I was thinking that, I mean, Craig as well. I looked at it and thought to myself, well, they haven't started as well as maybe they probably would have liked to.
It's a long season, isn't it? I mean, let's not get carried away. We won our first six last year, and people thought we would have been a Champions League come end of the season or something. People get so easily carried away. You don't win the league after the first month, and you're going to lose it after the first month. There's a lot of football to be played, a lot of points to be shared out, and yeah, this I wouldn't get carried away with anybody aside at the bottom of the league right now, because they want to win the league effectively come end of the season. So. Yeah, we'll see how it pans out, but I wouldn't judge anyone too early yet.
Well, I mean, has it been for either of you guys? I mean, has there been any teams that you've played so far that either you thought were going to be, and I'm not asking you to say plus or minus with this, but was there teams that you played this year that you thought maybe were going to be an harder proposition, and or has there been teams that you thought have, you know, that have been a weaker proposition? I'm not asking you to say which one's which, but has there been teams that you've played that you thought that when, you know, maybe that they were going to be stronger or weaker than when you played them?
I mean, I could probably answer that. I mean, we've had a tough start. We played Plymouth Parkway away, which is always difficult, even from a logistical point of view. And my God, we could have been four down by 20 minutes in. We were lucky that we got to grips with it come the end of the game and managed to get a win. But they were some side. Swindon, who I think they've picked up their first points last week, were a really tough side, and okay, we beat them. I guess that the most surprising one for me was Dorchester, and I think we played them at a good time, because you look at the caliber of player they've got. It, again, similar to Tottenham in the sense that you go down their team sheet. I mean, Jordan Ngala, who I regard as one of the best central midfielders in the league, if not the best, and it. We were lucky enough to keep him quiet that day, but it's such a tough league. I would be pushed to find a hard year in terms of the quality from top to bottom. You know, as it stands at the moment, you've got some teams that are yet to pick up points. Then again, you look through their team sheet and they're enviable. So I don't think it's a case that I mean, to use Craig's point earlier, like it is a long season, and I don't think you could read too much into it. But I think we played Dorchester at a good time because they're only going to get better.
Lads, Matty, I mean, Tom, I mean, what's your feelings on it? Is there teams that I mean, take Cribs for instance. I mean, was that a game that, a league below, and was that sort of a banana skin even at the weekend in the FA Cup?
Yeah, I think what's mad is I've played in the league for a long time, and whether it was 15 years ago or this season, one thing is quite clear: there's on any given day, any team will beat anyone if you're not right. Even the teams at the bottom of that table will turn you over, and it's such a cliche to say. We're like the championship in the sense you'll have two or three that may just start to break away. And then literally the remaining 20 sides will just beat each other up for the rest of the season. And it's been that way for so long, and I'm sure it'll be the same way this season. And we start the season with a fantastic win, and then we get a humble hammering away at Walton, because we weren't right on the day. And look, mentioning Walton, they were very, very good on the day, and I think they'll be a good side this year. But then we sort of found it difficult against Hanwell and really managed to turn it round. And then we play Cribs, who are obviously a league below. You get all like, not scouting report, but mates who've played against them this year, and they said, oh, they're a really weak side. They were better than some of the teams we actually played in the league this year. So on the day, so I just think if, and obviously Dan will probably say the same thing as well, that if you're not right on the day, any given team at this level will beat you or give you make it really difficult for you,
Would you agree, Tom?
Echo what Matty said, like any team can sort of beat anyone on their day. Like you say, Cribs on paper should be one of those games that we should get into the next round quite easily, and we just didn't turn up on the day, and it's one of those ones where got through by the skin of our teeth. Start the season very well against Tiverton, and then again Bolton, complete opposite. So yeah, it's one of those ones where you perform, you do well, and then hopefully you pick up the points. But yeah, it's going to be a long old season. Just got to pick up the points where needs to be, and yeah, just hope for the best, really.
I mean, yourself, Craig. I mean, with those games sort of coming sort of thick and fast at this time of year. I mean, beginning of the season, a few changes in the squad as well for you this year.
Yeah, we didn't lose many players. We brought a few. Addition, we made a few additions and brought a few players in. There's a couple of players that just left now, but we missed out by a point last year, so we knew we had to make a few changes and look to add a few to our squad. We're not able to carry a big squad because we're a bit harshly treated in that we're in Wales, so we can't sign players on dual registrations like other teams in our league, which makes it really almost impossible for us to keep a big squad. And we've also had issues which I think have been rectified now, but we've been in a situation where it's been difficult for us to loan players from other professional teams as well, where a lot of sides in the league are able to do. So we had to make a few changes. We want to improve, can't just stand still. We missed out by a point last year. We've got a young side, the young squad, other than Matthew, who's 74 now, but a young side. So we are still learning and developing and growing as we move along. But we needed a few additions to strengthen because we missed out by a point last year, and we need to try and kick on. We know the other sides have got quality and will be making additions as well. And if you stand still, you will end up dropping down that table, and we didn't want to be in that position, to be honest.
I mean, with the changes though, because I've seen there's been a few in the last few weeks, losing a few players. Was that through, choice, just shuffling the pack a little bit, or was that approaches from other clubs?
No, it was. We, as I said, we can't get players out to dual reg players, so it's very difficult to keep people happy. And we've got a lot of quality in our squad, so there's going to be boys we're missing out. And if they're not playing with us, I mean, how do we keep those boys happy at the end of the day? They want to be playing football, and there's always going to be interest in players if they're not playing, especially this time of season where other sides start the season and might think they're going to start on fire and three or four games in, and a panic sets in already because they haven't had the results they thought they were going to have. So they do get approaches. But, in fairness to the manager, he said that it wasn't fair on the lads who weren't playing regular. They wanted to play football, so he's allowed them to go and and get games, and it was probably a good move for them then to go out. I think both lads would have liked to have stayed and been in the team with us, but unfortunately, you can only pick 11, and it's better this year that we knew the five subs. But we've got, you know, like I say, we've got that position where we can't send players to get games elsewhere, which is really tough. Then if you're not in the starting 16, first game of the season, we go and win 6-0, you're very unlikely to change that squad round and things. So no, it's a difficult one, but we've kind of said, look, it's probably better for you personally to go out and play football elsewhere at the moment.
Dan, have you had a lot of changes yourself from last year?
Yeah, very similar experience to Craig by the sounds of things. I mean, very, very early on in pre-season, we lost 3-4 big names in our squad. Obviously, we lost Brad Wilson from a relocation. Brad has been our top scorer for the past 2-3 years, scored 35 goals in the year we won the league and finished top scorer last year when we got promoted. We also lost Danny Rowe to Gosport. That was I'm sure he won't mind me saying, he's been on record as saying it, so that won't be a problem. It was a financial decision for his family. For whatever reason, that hasn't worked out. He's not been in the last few squads. And I don't know what's going to happen to Dan now. But and the other one was Michael Atkinson. Michael, for very different reasons, was such a formidable loss to us. His abilities to win the ball back and drive us forward from a character level, not just a player perspective. So yeah, I mean, when those three got announced, the fan reaction wasn't particularly a great one. But there's always been trust in the way that Aaron and I recruit, and we'd like to think, although we've gone a slightly different approach this year, we'd like to think we've recruited well and the supporters have got behind it. But yeah, we lost a fair few, and we will do, to Craig's point, like I think 4 weeks in is a usual time frame for squads to kind of settle, and players will naturally either drift off and because of their lack of game time, or get plucked off because that you get higher league clubs coming in for them. And luckily we've not had that bit yet because we've been doing quite well, but there will be players naturally over the course of the next couple of days and weeks that do depart us in search of more regular game time.
Is that an exclusive over the next couple of days?
We're just waiting for the Twitter announcements. That's basically it. Yeah, we've got two lads that are on their way out. One will be joining probably Hanwell, and another will be joining Chertsey. That's as exclusive as you can get with it. Yeah, and we are like, for, I mean, I can say this now because they both players have done an awful lot for us, and you don't want to lose them. This is the thing. Like, I'm having conversations with players at the moment, and they're going, "Okay, what does my future look like?" And I go, "Well, at the moment, we're doing really well, so I'm not really at liberty to change anything." And I try and give them feedback in the way that I think that if they applied certain aspects of their game, that they could get back in. But the reality of it is that they want to play football. We don't want to lose them, but you've kind of got to free them up a little bit. You know, it's not fair on them, and it's I'm not a manager that wants to bluff people and suggest that they're going to be in a week later, because the reality is they're probably not. So in their bid for search of more football and my liking of them as people, we are quite honest with players in that sense. So yeah, but it'd be a shame to lose them because they've done brilliantly for the club.
The next up for you is Tottenham.
Yeah, nice easy one for the weekend. Yeah, to follow our misery from the FA Cup exit against Sholin. Yeah, look, I mean, Tottenham are just a formidable beast. You know, like, again, you look down that player list, and we've had some players like Charlie Kennedy that have been at us. And we've actually been a bit of a thorn in the side of Tottenham. We took 4 points off them last year. We won in the home leg, and I know their players still talk about that game because we defended for our lives for the last 20-25 minutes. Like, it was the first game where our supporters really started cheering every header away and every tackle. It was a magnificent game, and then they were 2-0 up, having probably should have been about 7-0 up in the first half. We're quite pally with Scott Rendell, but thankfully for us, he had one of his off days. He had a rare off day for us. But they could have been out of sight within 30 minutes. And we made a couple of changes, and DeAndre Brown just had a game of his life for the last 20, 30 minutes of the game. And we managed to pull it back to 2-2. So we've been a bit of a thorn for Tottenham. But obviously, with their renewed and they've only got better, like Tony Lee obviously coming in late last year, Charlie Austin. I mean, even the fact that you can say Charlie Austin's in our league is just it's just ridiculous, isn't it? I was lucky enough to know Charlie growing up and played with him, and him as a 13-year-old would have probably got in Tottenham's side now, how good he was. So God knows what he's going to be like with a wealth of experience. But you want those tests, you know. So it will make for interesting reading, and we go in as the underdogs, but we'll try and bark and bite as loudly as we can.
And then you've got the shot, and then you've got a Sheringham game coming up as well, just around the corner as well. Because you, I mean, but that spare week that you've now got because of the FA Cup. I mean, as a manager, do you really want a spare Saturday that early on in the season?
Depends on the week. I know I've got at least one centre half unavailable for that week, so for us it's a bit of a blessing. But yeah, I mean, you do want that continuity of games. Obviously, the luxury for us is we're on 4G pretty much every other week, and obviously there's a fair few teams, Merthyr included, that are on 4G. So we didn't have the panic that Plymouth Parkway had last year, as an example. So the continuity of games is an important one from a momentum perspective, but not necessarily in terms of getting games in as early as possible. I mean, weirdly, one of our players, James Clark, who's a bit of a stato, came up with a stat that over the Christmas period going into New Year, got 15 games, 14 of which are on 4G. So we'll be playing all the way through Christmas and into the new year, which is amazing. So we're not too concerned with weekends off. I'm sure that the lads will find a way of making the most of it.
I always ask that question to everybody who's got 4G, who hasn't got 4G. I mean, I suppose you've got two sort of ends of the spectrum, and apologies to Matty when I say that. But Tom, I mean, how do you feel about playing on 4G? And Matty, is your opinion different to Tom's maybe?
Yeah, well, for me, I think I much prefer to play on a nicer grass pitch that's nicely cut clean than a dodgy sort of grass pitch and an Astro. But then you look at the other spectrum, I'd rather play on an Astro, get the game in week in, week out, than a sort of a dodgy grass pitch. So yeah, for me, my preference would be a nicely cut grass pitch. But yeah, I don't mind a 3G pitch every now and then.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, every footballer wants to play on Taunton's pitch and Hanwell's pitch, don't they? That sort of carpet, like, do you know what I mean? So, you know, and fortunately for us, we went to those places, and you know, West and the year before, they were carpets, and it's great, especially, and Basingstoke included, like two footballing teams that actually want to pass the ball as well. So you get excited as players to turn up on these nice grass pitches. But I won't lie, at 35, turning 36, the 3G does beat you up a little bit. Especially, you know, I think a lot of people don't appreciate the actual fixture schedule and how relentless it can be at times. And the Saturday, Tuesday, the Saturday, Monday, which I'll openly say I think is shocking, really, at that level to go Saturday, Monday. Especially, I find if I play on a grass pitch, even though it's like it could be really heavy, i.e., like a tivy in January, I recover quicker after grass and I could go again on a Tuesday-ish, maybe, rather than I'm in bits after a Saturday on a 3G. It'll take me till the Wednesday or Thursday to feel remotely human again. So I don't know if that's just myself. I don't know. My ankles and knees are in bits after it. But in terms of actually the way, you know, if you want to play football and get the ball down, the 3G always does allow you to do that, whether you're in August or in mud season in February. So, you know, there's pros and cons. You get the train on the ground. Obviously, you've got the commercial stuff without boring people regarding that, which is a massive plus for clubs at our level. But I think you ask any footballer, they'd want to play on, you know, on a perfect grass pitch week in, week out. But we haven't got the resources at our level to, you know, fair play to the clubs that do have grass at our level, because most of them are okay, in fairness. But you do get, you know, you do get some tricky surfaces. And but that's part of that sort of challenge that comes with playing at our level, isn't it? You know, you can play 4G one week and make 500 passes as a team, and then you're going away to Tivy and you can't put three passes together because it's you've got to flick it up and volley it up the pitch. So yeah, I mean, yeah, always a preference is the perfect grass option, but you know, I suppose having games constantly being on a 4G that allows you to pass the ball around is it's not a bad second thing that we get, like, you know.
A lot of players say, Craig Dan as well. I mean, a lot of players say, like, should we say the older player turns around and says exactly the same as Matt. He's just said there's tough on the knees, tough on the ankles, etc., etc. And that, do you guys feel that once we get to a stage of maybe 10 years' time when these sort of 3G pitches have been around for, a decent quality pitch as well, that's been around for sort of 10, 15 years, that maybe then the older player then is used to playing on it and doesn't get as much pain in that on it as they do now, or do you think it'll always be the same?
I played on 3Gs before the end of my career for a long time, and I always felt like I used to, people used to say about their backs and their knees. I was very lucky. I didn't used to suffer, well, I didn't used to think that I suffered too much. And then I had a break from it and played on grass for a while, went back to a 3G, and I spent, same Matt, you just said, days and days trying to recover from it. But I think over time you do get used to it a bit. But as Matt said, and Tom, if you've got a nice grass pitch, I think everybody wants to play now. The problem is, our country dictates that unless you've got a lot of money to spend on your pitch and full-time groundsmen, you're going to struggle with getting games on a lot of the time. So the 3G is the way forward, I think, in this country, and also allows you to get some money into the club by renting that pitch out. So there's also things like training. I mean, if you've got a nice grass pitch, chances are you're training on a 3G anyway. On a Tuesday and Thursday or Monday and Wednesday, because you're not going to be allowed to train on that pitch because it's going to be ruined. So all those things do make it easier. I think at our level, it's probably going to be more and more 3G pitches coming in. But yeah, it's a difficult one, to be honest.
I suppose, Matty, your biggest nightmare is coming up in a couple of weeks' time then, because 21st of September you're at home to Gosport, and then the 24th you're at home to Winchester.
Yeah. It makes me sick in my mouth thinking about it.
But does
No,
that
it, um,
is
it's
that
it's it's
it's like
it's yeah, it's just I can get through it, and I did last year, but it's that sort of you just never know how your body's going to feel at my age coming through a game. Like, you can come through a game and feel fine going up to the bar, and then you try and walk to the car at 6 o'clock and you're thinking, geez, I can't even get out of the car, I'm struggling. Or it'll go the other way where you're really sore and then wake up the next day and think, oh, you know what, I don't feel too bad. So I think it's a toss of a coin. I don't think there's any consistency with it. I don't know whether it's all in my head. I don't know, because you just convince yourself that you've had a tough game. But yeah, look, and I've reached a point in my career where it is just one game at a time. And I think that's why I sort of play with that sort of carefree approach now, where I don't put too much pressure on myself anymore. And I'll make a mistake, which I did at Walton, and it don't really affect me. On the day it's crap to do something crap, obviously, and you apologize to your teammates, but you just very quickly move off that because you think, oh well, there's another game around the corner. And it's and I'm very much like that now. If I'm not right, I'm honest with the management group and just say I don't feel particularly great physically. We have got a very good squad and boys ready to step in as and when they're called upon. And that very, very good boys. What's crazy is I'm 35, and I think the next option is 22. So that's the sort of scale in the squad in terms of age. But I hang in there. I'm quite gutsy, and I'll go as long as I can go. But yeah, I do find it tough, especially a Saturday to a Tuesday recovery. But I suppose that's just being honest with Paul and the staff, and just seeing how my body reacts from the weekend, and then he has to make a decision if I have to roll with it again, or that he's going to make some changes.
Well, just some good news for you. Your favourite away venue is the 4th of January. So
Yeah.
it will be nice and heavy for you. So you'll be all
Or it could be called off
right.
and rescheduled to a midweek in March, which yeah, that's always good fun as well.
Well, I mean, Dan, I mean, we're based in Stoke as well. And, I mean, what are the average crowds? What's your crowds like down there? I mean, are you seeing an increase in people coming through the game?
Yeah, I mean, from the time I took over, we I mean, okay, we had a bit of a different circumstance in that we were playing over in Winchester as our home ground, like Winchester are now, but at that point we didn't have any ground, and we were probably averaging about 300-ish. Now, year on year, we've probably gone up 20% every year, 25%, and I mean, last weekend in the FA Cup was 750, but a lot of our games towards the end of last year and also a couple of this year have been over 1,000, which is amazing. One thing about Basingstoke is that the area loves its sport, similar to Merthyr. I mean, I know how passionate they are over that way. I mean, I took 90 minutes of absolute abuse from the guys in the balcony, which was good fun. But yeah, they're passionate for it, and we're the same. You know, that they live and breathe it, and I'm sure it's the same as Merthyr. When you go and ask these supporters, who do you support? Traditionally, when you go to non-league grounds, they'll say, "Oh, I'm a Man United supporter, I'm a Liverpool supporter, but my second club is," and then they reel off their non-league team. But we're very fortunate that the first response of a lot of our fans is, "Yeah, we support Basingstoke," and that's kind of it, and it's a real responsibility in that sense, but I love it because it allows players to get to know supporters to get to know the players. It allows the club to be more community driven because we know the people we're dealing with, and we know we've got lifelong fans. I mean, you take our chairman as an example. He's a fourth generation Basingstoke fan. There's photos of him as a kind of 2-year-old on the Camrose pitch. So it's a great community in that sense. So we're very lucky to have as many supporters as we do. And if only we had our own ground, that we'd be able to really make the most of that. But unfortunately, we're at the hands of Hampshire FA, and their routine and their opening times and everything like that. So we are limited, but comparatively what we are at Winchester, we're very good at the moment.
So is that where you're playing at the moment? Are you playing at Winchester at the moment?
No, so we're playing at Winterbury headquarters. So 5 years ago, when we got kicked out of the Camrose ground, which is a whole another podcast in itself, we were fortunate enough that Winchester allowed us to go and play our home games there for the time in which it took us to ready Winkelbury. And then we've been at Winkelbury ever since, which is a 4G pitch. We've had work done to it. A new clubhouse has just gone in this year for the first time ever. And it was embarrassing, I have to admit. Like, as well as the club did with trying to be hospitable, you'd have clubs like Merthyr and Tiverton travel a long way, and you're shoving them in a what was effectively like a school classroom, without the offer of drinks and a bar, and it was a bit ridiculous. So we're pleased that we can offer that now. But yeah, we're playing out of Winkelry, but again, it's not our own. I mean, last year, no, 2 years ago, we played in the Hampshire Cup final. And we wanted to train the night before, weren't allowed, so we had to go and train on the grass pitches in behind. And you play in Bournemouth, who are training 7 days a week at Fratton Park, so it wasn't the best preparation for it. But yeah, there's frustrations, but comparatively to where we were 5 years ago, which is constantly what we've got to remind ourselves, we're light years ahead of where we were then.
I mean, with that though, I mean, are the chances getting better to get your own ground now, or is it still sort of one, yeah, like that?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, with all the progress that the club has seen over the course of the last few years, a new change in local government, a new change in local council, I'll be frank, the last MP, and this is my views, not the club's, I'll say that now. They didn't we won the treble 2 years ago. We won the Hampshire Cup, the North Hants Cup, and the league. And we didn't even get a letter, an email, a tweet from our local MP or our local councillor. And that was really telling. And I think that has been the history of Basingstoke over the course of the last 10 years, that sport is just seen as, well, if you want to do it, but it's not it doesn't help the community. Whereas we know so well that it does. I mean, I've said till I'm blue in the face, football is far more than football. It's escapism, it's community, it's value, it's people's social identity. It's such a massive, widespread thing than other than just 90 minutes. It's giving youth an opportunity. It's like you look at our academy, and we've had lads that go to university doing business degrees off the back of our academy. We've got lads going to America. It's endless. And the sooner that, God, this is getting really political, I'm sorry. The sooner that the suits understand that, the better. But we're hopeful. That's all we can be. Unfortunately, whilst we'd love to be the masters of our own future, our hands are tied a little bit, but we're trying to break free as best we can and build for a future for Basingstoke.
Well, I'm going to stay a little bit political because I saw this week, there's been a lot of talk this week, and I don't know where it's come from. I don't know if it's because of is it the TNS qualifying for the European stages, etc., etc. But there's been a lot of tweets, and I think Craig knows what I'm about to say already. But there's been a lot of tweets lately around Merthyr going back into the Welsh system. I mean, I know that I know speaking to the late Anthony Hughes, et cetera, and he said one day he expected it to happen, a couple of years ago. But I mean, where has that come from? Again, all of a sudden, fans talking about that, and has there been whispers about it actually physically happening?
No, it comes up every time I say in the Welsh system does well, wins a game in Europe, that gets thrown at us. Look, a majority of our fans and the big Merthyr fans are dead against it. There's lots of pros and cons for both, and I understand both arguments. But there's other sides have left the English system, gone into the Welsh system, and have struggled since they've gone in there. Because the fan base hasn't really supported it, hasn't wanted to go with it. There's a lot of money in the Welsh system at the moment. I think it makes it tough for us when we're trying to recruit players. You can go 10, 50 miles down the road and double your money signing for someone in Welsh, not even the top division of Welsh football these days. So it is difficult. And if they get into Europe, then it's a big payday for that. Now, the problem is with that is there is a ceiling in the Welsh system, and so TNS are the only full-time team, I believe, now, and they're going to win the league for the next possibly 30 years. They've got an owner who's put a lot of money into it, and they get into Europe every year, so they have the money coming from that, and that money isn't filtering down to the rest of the teams in the league. So every year, before it kicks off, TNS are going to win the league. And it's a shock if they don't win the Welsh Cup. They go into Europe, and for the last few years, they haven't won too many games. The argument comes when either Merthyr are struggling, or when, which hasn't happened very often, a side does well in Europe. So that comes back at us. But I mean, from the club's point of view, that hasn't really been something that's really been discussed there. And the fans will tell you, if we win the Welsh Prem, we're in the Welsh Prem, whereas where we are now. I mean, the dream is to get into the Football League, to get into the Premier League in 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years' time. If we leave, we're not going to be allowed back into that English system in 20 years or 30 years. So fans are dead against that. And also then there's things like playing in the FA Cup. That's a big thing. There's always a lot of excitement around that and how far we can go in that. So I don't see it happening anytime soon. I think there's always going to be an argument from people around it. And who knows, maybe in 10, 15 years' time, there'll be more of a discussion. But right now, I don't see that being realistic at the moment.
So you don't know, the club haven't got any contacts with any famous actors or anything like that that could come in and help out?
I think there's rumours. I think our supporters started a rumour a while back about Will Ferrell coming in. And when the Wrexham boys took over there, I know the Merthyr supporters started that rumour. And then it was something like, I don't know if it was a helicopter landed. I think it was like a Red Air ambulance or something. And someone's taken a photo of that and said, Will Ferrell's coming to Merthyr. And I think it went viral. And there's lots of strong rumors of that. But in reality, yeah, there's no millionaires coming to Merthyr at the moment. But if there is one out there who wants to come in, you're more than welcome. We'd love to have him.
So you're supposed to be your most famous fan at the moment is your sponsor, isn't
I would have thought so, yes. Yeah.
it?
Yeah, we've had some good publicity through that. I mean, yeah, John's been a big fan for a long time, to be honest. I've got photos somewhere of me probably as a 7-year-old sat in a stand watching a game with him and Mark Evans on the board and a few of them who support them. And he is a big backer of the club. But yeah, if there's any other millionaires, yeah, like I say, you'd be more than welcome.
Well, it was. I don't know if you guys know, but we did a My Life in Football with him in the last series, as we did with yourself, Greg. And he was there, and all of a sudden, this arm came into shot and gave him a cup of tea. And of course, it was his very, very famous young lady. And he just so it was said. I can't remember what we were saying. I said, I'm just glad she didn't come on screen because I couldn't afford to pay for it to come on the screen. But she's just sort of walked past. But what is, I mean, in that, I mean, basically, take yourself as well. I mean, have you got anybody that sort of comes along that's, like Merthyr have got there? And, have you got anybody that's any sort of famous personnel that come into the ground?
If they do, they're in disguise. I've not seen anyone. Not that I'm particularly aware of. I mean, we've had some famous dads, but that's about it of players. We've had Mark Schwartz's son Julian, more recently Anton Rogers and his dad Brendan. But yeah, no one that lives locally. Yeah, it goes back to, here's me getting political again. It goes back to we've not really had anyone in football from Basingstoke that's really gone on to like shine the light or carry the torch. We've got a few young lads now, a lad called Brodie Peart, who's just signed at Wickham, who's an exceptional talent. And there's a couple of young lads, but we're always trying to fly that flag. But to do that, you need investment in sport in the borough. So, but no, as far as I'm aware, there's no celebrities. Burberry was born in Basingstoke, but we've not had that door answered yet.
What about you guys? I mean, when of course Johnny's lady wife does turn up on the odd occasion, is that sort of a bit of excitement through the dressing room to try and go up there and get a picture or go up and see her?
It's probably a Welsh response. I don't think anyone cares, and that's not like a disrespect thing. With no, I mean, it's lovely, and the traction that the club gets is great. But I think even, and I don't know the girl whatsoever. I know Johnny to a point. I think that's the appeal of coming home to the Valleys, and obviously Vicky's coming back to see Johnny's home of the Valleys. Is that you could have been a BAFTA winner or an Oscar winner, but you'll be treated just like one of our own, and you'll be, yeah, she'll come in and people will make a sort of fuss, but she'll probably very much feel as if she's walked into her own front room anyway. That's how people are at the football club. That's my view on it anyway. She was very kind over the Christmas period and had a photo with my wife and daughter, which was more to show my daughter when she's grown up that she was there, and it's great. And but yeah, you do get that little bit of the message gets out, but I don't think it affects the dressing room. I think you get some people who get a bit excited upstairs if they know that Vicky and Johnny are about. But like Craig said, Johnny is a local Merthyr boy and has been a Merthyr fan, and he's one of those guys that have gone on to do really well for themselves, and we're all proud of him as a town, and especially he's got that connection with the football club. But it might just be a Valleys thing. Johnny again could be an Oscar-winning director, but he'll walk back in and he'll soon have his, he'll soon be made fun of or poked fun at, or some interview he's done, someone will make fun of an accent he's developed. This very much the Valleys way. I think you're soon brought back down to earth and you're just a Merthyr boy, or, and I think that's just the way we are in South Wales, and I think that's the appeal of coming back to Merthyr, I suppose. And I think perhaps, not that I've ever spoken to her properly, but I'm pretty sure Vicky feels welcomed, and she doesn't be, she's obviously looked after very well in the hospitality, etc. But I'm pretty sure she doesn't feel uncomfortably like she's some superstar. She can just be herself and let her guard down when she visits, like.
So over the last 7 or 10 days, of course, she's just done a very, very famous a sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? She's done a talk over for an advert that was on the TV, of course, recently. I don't suppose any of you guys have tapped her up for Oasis tickets yet, have you?
I queued for about 10 hours and then got thrown out, so I don't know. It's probably what happened with the rest of the country doing this.
But I mean back to football itself. I mean, what is it like, as a young man, Tom, playing for Murphy, and are you a Murphy boy?
No, so I'm actually from Cheltenham.
Right, okay.
I make the 1 hour 30 journey to Merthyr 3 times a week. So been there for what, 3 years now, my third season. So kind of been brought into that Merthyr family as such. So obviously Paul brought me along at the start of his tenure. Sort of never looked back since, really. I've been sort of welcomed. I mean, the lads in the changing room are sort of excellent. I've sort of gained sort of real connection to the sort of the fan base as well. I think my family sort of really enjoy it there as well. I mean, my mum's got into the sort of photography now at the club, which I mean all the lads are pretty happy about. But yeah, so I mean the family's really good there at Merthyr. Don't sort of mind the travelling as such anymore. Sort of gotten used to it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, haven't really looked back since I started, really.
I mean, Murphy's ground itself. I mean, I was lucky enough to come up in April. When you named the stand after Ant, and It's I wouldn't say strange, but I would say you tick all the boxes, don't you? It's almost like an oldie worldy sort of ground, but a modern ground at the same time. It's a really, really lovely stadium.
Yeah, we don't sort of understand sort of how fortunate we are sort of to have that sort of stadium as such. You sort of go to some other grounds in the league as such, and there's not really many sort of stands as such really, but there's sort of the atmosphere that comes with the fans as well. Sort of can really get behind the team as such. Sort of when on the Tuesday night games, you've had like a Taunton in the FA Cup on the Friday night, and sort of there's over 2,000 people there in the stand. So yeah, I mean the infrastructure does really help in terms of the players as well. So yeah.
I mean, with the league that you guys are all in, what would you say is your favourite ground you like to go to, and what's the one you think, oh, I don't really want to
Dorchester KFC is right behind the
go?
walls. It's a 4G pitch, it's a nice ground, and you've got KFC, so Dorchester the winner for me personally. Makes a
Well,
trip home on a bus a lot easier with a KFC. And a few beers on a bus. And then yeah, I mean some you get clubs that come in, some new clubs who are trying to build, and they haven't got the infrastructure in place yet, and you know, it's always a challenge going to some of those places, and but it's enjoyable getting around different places, to be honest. I enjoy, you know, seeing the new places, the new clubs when they come up, regardless of whether they're big grounds or not. I think with ours, you know, there's two ways. Look, it's great that we've got it, and we're very proud of our ground and what we got there. But it also, I think there's a lot of teams in our league who really enjoy coming to Merthyr because of the ground, because of the facilities, because of the curry and rice after the game. And a lot of sides come up there. They know there's going to be an atmosphere in the ground. And a lot of sides will raise their game when they come to us. So we are aware of that games at home can be tough because the teams come up. You know, for years, you'd see players come up there and they'd be on the pitch with their phones doing a selfie video around us to put on their socials and look at this ground and things. So that tells you that people want to come there and enjoy it, and you know it's going to be a tough afternoon then when they're doing that, to be honest.
I mean, I sit and watch, when the goals come sent through to me to get set up for the goal show. And I look at some of the grounds on there, and I think one of them, and she's no disrespect to any of the others, but it seems to be one there that seems a little bit head and shoulders above the rest. Not necessarily same level as you guys, but I think if I'm right in saying across into the other division, of course, is AFC Telford. That ground just looks like something else. It looks like it's almost like a step two, almost step one ground. I've never
We
been.
played there, funny enough, like when we reformed in 2010. I think we went up because we were like fan-owned, and Telford played, I think it was like FC United, is it? Is that the fan-owned? Yeah. And
Yeah,
then
good stuff.
we played Scarborough. We got absolutely battered against Scarborough, remember? We got to play on Telford's ground, and it was very much like you said, it's a football league ground, really. But yeah, we are quite unique. It's one of those levels. The step that we're at, that you go up a league, and half of the league are full time, and a lot of them are ex like football league grounds and things like that. And then you go down a league, it's sort of we're that middle league that you get sort of like the clash of both worlds. Yeah. You get that sort of up and coming club that they've got ceilings financially or whatever they might be, and they've overachieved and they're doing really well to sort of tick ground gradings, and it's very modest. But then you get other clubs like years gone by, like clubs like Weymouth, King's Lynn, just proper big grounds that you get to play at. And obviously they've moved on. But even like the last year, we're one step away from clubs like Torquay, and it's mad really. Yeovil, you know, it's yeah, we're that, I think we're that last level of some big grounds, and then you've got some of the league then that are like the smaller grounds. And I think if when we were coming through the leagues, obviously I was part of that, and the league below then a lot more modest grounds, but good atmospheres, good fan bases, some good budgets, some good crowds, very competitive football. And then this that sort of jump into the Southern League is a bit of a jump, but then that jump I think into the National League South is a massive jump then in terms of you know, the stadiums, the budgets, the gulf of player. I think we're sort of that. I don't know if everyone, Ben, would you, Dan, sorry, would you agree with that? That we're sort of like two worlds really come in, and then you either break away or you're the one below, like, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've experienced both ends of the spectrum already this season. And we were really fortunate, incredibly fortunate, during pre-season to be up, invited up to FC United and Manchester's ground. And you look around and it's just another world. And don't get me wrong, they've had their frustrations and they've been made to work really hard for it. But my God, it's someplace. It really is. I mean, infrastructurally, just one of the best grounds I've ever played in, carpet of a pitch. The facility itself, like even the drive in, it just looks brilliant. And yeah, I mean, to your point earlier, I mean, you mentioning that people raise their game when they come to you. I mean, we certainly didn't last year. In places that you really look forward to go into, Merthyr, despite the travel, but the travel was made worth it because of the facility, the pitch, the atmosphere, the crowd, the hospitality before and after. Like it really is an exceptional place. And there's a few of them, you know. There's a few in our league. Obviously, Salisbury last year obviously got promoted. Tottenham's ground is pretty special. But yeah, you've then got little grounds. I mean that with the greatest respect, because I characterise our ground as the same. But teams like Chertsey, you know, it feels like a real throwback to what non-league football was like in the 90s, as far as I'm concerned. And brilliant fan base, really get behind the team, and but they feel so on top of you because it is that really tight ground. So it's an incredibly difficult place to play that. But yeah, to your point, it is a bit of a mash of worlds colliding in from both ends of the spectrum.
I mean, are you saying that? I mean, I know you just talking about the difference. I mean, you look at a team like Enfield Town, got promoted last year, and some of the grounds that they've gone to in the Isthmian Prem, and their first game in the Vanarama South is away to Torquay,
Incredible, isn't it?
and it's just like, wow. Do you know what, what's going on here? This is ridiculous because you're playing at that sort of level, and I think in the first three games, I think they've had Torquay away, Truro away. They've also had Weston-super-Mare as well. Do you know what I mean? And you look at some of those and you think, it's just incredible the difference between, a bit like you've said, some of the grounds and some of the names of those sort of teams. And I think the English system at the moment, doesn't it? It feels like it's all been shuffled up quite a lot because there's teams that, that you wouldn't expect to have at this sort of level. And all of a sudden, as you said, you're one promotion away from playing Torquay. And these type of teams, it's just incredible, even the likes of Boreham Wood, that were what a game away from going into the Football League, and now into step two, so you've got those teams that are touchable now for you guys. Does that also make you guys look at this season and think, wow, we're that a season away from playing those sort of clubs as well?
I mean, for me, I guess it does. I mean, it doesn't play in your mind week on week, but obviously, when you then look at, I mean, like you say, the list that you just listed off then is that there's some incredible teams in that league. I mean, look at the likes of Weymouth and Salisbury, like really good old fashioned grounds with incredible fan bases and a brilliant old school non-league grounds, which I'm a big fan of. But equally to that, the other end of the spectrum. So when you look at kind of step five, one thing I am noticing at the moment, and it's for absolutely the greater good, as teams like Farnham, right? And Farnham, a very well-known club for their investment on the pitch, but also off of it. And I have to admit that they're back in the day, I said the day, kind of 90s, late noughties, teams used to invest on the pitch, but not necessarily with fan experience and the ground. And now you look around and Farnham have done a fantastic job both on and off the pitch. Equally, you look at what Merthyr was maybe 6, 7 years ago to what it is now. It's every club is really working on that fan experience. And I think that's the main part. People are really understanding the benefit of providing an experience for supporters to want to come in. Because if you do that, then even from a sustainability point of view, you're gonna hopefully create lifelong fans, and then people want to come back, and then your finances go up. So all around the country, it does feel like grounds are improving. I have my issues with ground grading to a certain extent. I mean, you're one nail short in a fire exit sign, you can fail it. Like it's ridiculous. Some of the one of our points was the changing room needed to be bigger by about 2 meters squared, and it ended up just us taking a door off and then we were fine. And you look at it and you go, it's so ridiculous, but you've got to tick a box, right? But yeah, it is an incentive to answer your question. I know, I appreciate I didn't in the first place. It is an incentive to go as higher up as you can, and it's not just that league. The higher up you get, the better the surroundings tend to be, the better the refs tend to be, the better the atmospheres tend to be. So it's all what we're.
I wouldn't go as far as say the refs get better. You're pushing
Effectively,
back a little bit there. Look,
effectively.
you've only got to look at the Arsenal game at the weekend, and the refs don't get better, trust me.
Well, if they don't get better, then let's.
But
Jesus.
I mean, talking about big stadiums and big places to go, you've got a trip coming up soon in quite a decent little stadium, isn't it, Craig?
Which one's that?
In the FA Cup?
Bath?
Yeah.
Yes, second game that. Yeah, I went there because a youth player a long, long time ago with the first team and went to Bath then and yeah, loved it there then it was a ground and it's gonna be I think it's a lot of Merthyr fans. Some of the older fans have been there many, many times and were really excited and I've seen a couple of tweets from some of the younger fans saying it's somewhere they've always wanted to go actually. So I think we'll take quite a few fans there. I think it's easy access them to jump on a train and travel. I think we'll have a good following and yeah, it'd be good, very good test for us against an excellent side up from a league above and we're going to raise the underdogs, but it'll be a good challenge for us. You know, we've got a lot of young players who want to test themselves as high as they can, so it's a great opportunity for them to go into that. A game we look forward to.
I'd go out on a limb and say you'll be favourites for that.
Really?
And
We won't make ourselves favourites for that, trust me, we won't.
but the reason I say that is because if you go back, and literally, I was involved with Harlow Town. They came to us and we drew 1-1. We then went to their place and beat them at their place at the same ground. I don't know if it was the trophy or the FA Cup at the time, but it was. If you go back through their previous games when they've actually played teams from a lower level, if I could find it and actually do a bit of research to actually have a look, I don't think their success rate against teams at a lower level is very, very high.
Yeah, it quite often happens. Like I say, we played Saturday and everybody would have put good money on us to win easily on Saturday. And it doesn't always work out like that. And we have got some players who look forward to that test. It's 2 year right now. We'll be looking forward to that and showing a bit more. But, they're a league above. They've been in, they've established in that league above now. So there's no way we're going into that. I think we're the favourites for it. We'll think about Saturday first and foremost. Then we have another game on the Tuesday. So it's a long time and not much time to actually prepare for it. And we have to get, we've got two league games before that we have to take care of and two tough oppositions there. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see on the day. That's the thing with the cup, isn't it? Anything can happen on the day. We've had a couple of good results against teams in the FA Cup in previous 2 years. So we'll be hoping for another. But yeah, we'll see where we are in 2 weeks' time.
What is the date? What is the date for it?
I think it's a week Saturday, isn't it?
14th.
Yeah.
14th.
Yeah.
I've got a free weekend that weekend.
So, Alex, I mean, are you looking forward to that trip? The trip for that, to Bath, or not to Bath? That's
Absolutely. Yeah. For me personally, yeah. I know quite a few of the lads in that side anyway. So it'd be good to sort of catch up with them and sort of play against them. A lot of players I haven't seen in a while. But again, it's a test against a club in a high division. It's the FA Cup, sort of the magic of the cup, sort of anything can happen. Yeah, probably going in as the underdogs, but certainly anything can happen. And I know a lot of people in the club were happy with that draw, so hopefully we can go there and put on the show, really.
just a shame it weren't at home.
Say again, sorry.
Just a shame it weren't at home.
We're always like an away trip, but yeah, obviously home games always nicer in the cup and. Hopefully, we can take a few down there to Bath anyway and make it a good away trip.
May, looking forward to it.
I went there in 2007 in my first year with Merthyr, so it's been a while since I went back. And it's one of those grounds that it's a proper old ground, isn't it? And they get good crowds. And I know Merthyr fans always travel in good numbers, especially with it being, we're so used to traveling 3, 4 hours, so it only being just over an hour away. I'm sure that. They'll take a good few of us. So yeah, You know, we drew Taunton last year in the cup, and they were two very good games, and we were very good on against Taunton. And you know, we don't fear anyone. We'll go there, and it's a free hit, I suppose. We'll go there and try and cause an upset. But yeah, these are the, as footballers, it's cliche, but these are the games you want to play in, really. You know, you get drawn against away. I'd much rather play away from home, personally. We train twice a week on the ground and play there. So if we ever made a proper big game in the FA Cup, I always want that away. So if we were to ever draw a Football League game, a tie, I don't know if I can speak, but for myself, I'd rather we narrowly missed out. We lost to Buxton a couple of years ago, and that would have resulted in Ipswich away had we got through that tie. So when a lot of the fans say, oh, I want it at home, I'm like, it sounds terrible. We train on that pitch twice a week. We're there bloody all the time. So it'd be nice to actually go and experience 15,000, 20,000 and chase shadows for 90 minutes. So yeah, it's always nice to go away. And yeah, a ground like Twerton Park will be it'll be a brilliant afternoon, and one that we're all looking forward to, no doubt.
Of course, it saves on the knees and the ankles as well.
Yeah, that as well. Yeah. And then you might, if we do all right on the day and get a draw, then it's that horrible replay instantly on the Tuesday, then sure after. So you never know. But hopefully we'll do the job on the Saturday.
Get through to the third round and take on Man United at Old Trafford, you'd probably be favourites, wouldn't you? what is that like? I mean, when was the last time you guys, both sides, when was the last sort of time you had a sort of an extended run in the FA Cup?
One down.
Oh, don't.
Yeah.
Never. I mean, me personally, never. It's just I've been absolutely useless at it, I'll be honest. The club, we've had some glory days, like, but you're dating yourself back kind of 20, 30 years. We've for whatever reason just not picked up that run, and it is tough. Particularly entering this round. I remember at step four, you can kind of not guarantee yourself, but you can go through a couple of extra rounds to earn some coffers for the club and stuff, and now you're coming in around, and we've drawn Sheolin, who are a decent side, and got knocked out. So it is tough, but yeah, we've not seen particularly great in recent history.
What about the trophy? Is that the same or?
We've not been great. I mean, local cups in Hampshire Cup, obviously we won it 2 years ago, so we've done pretty well in that. Obviously leagues, we've done pretty well with playoffs and winning leagues recently. But yeah, the for whatever reason, the trophy and the FA Cup have escaped us.
Correct.
Yeah, for us, I mean, we had a good run 2 years ago when we got the first one proper. Played Buxton, as Matthew said, we're 90 minutes away from going away to play Ipswich, which would have been fantastic. Wasn't to be. And then before that, I think it was 2005, where the club got to the first round, then had a home tie against Walsall, who Paul Merson was manager at the time. I think Steve Staunton was playing that night, and there was a few names in that squad. And that was live on, I think it might have been on Sky at the time then, on a Friday night. And yes, Stevie Williams got a great free kick to send everybody absolutely mental at Allen Park. But in between, there's been very little success. So yeah, we had some good night, a couple of good nights last year, where, as Marty said, we played Taunton, drew with them at home and beat them away. So yeah, it'd be nice to do it again, and it's always nice to bring the money in from it, as well as the enjoyment, and the cup run is good money involved in the FA Cup, so that always goes a long way to help as well.
Yeah. So I suppose last questions for you guys, and then we let you go. But I mean, what was the expectation this year for Basingstoke for Merthyr? I mean, what was when you started off, and you said you had a little bit of a change in playing personnel as well. I mean, what was your the thoughts, or what was you getting from the board above you saying that when you sat down, Governor, we're looking at playoffs, or we're looking at automatic, or we're looking at safety. I mean, what was the sort of thinking at the beginning of the season when you had those sort of discussions with the rest of you, with Craig, with the rest of the management team, and with your management team as well, Dan?
Okay.
But for us, we missed out by a point last year in the playoffs, which was devastating, to be honest, because we felt that say the league table doesn't lie, but we felt we should have been in there. So for us, I think every team goes into it wanting to improve on the season before. So I think pre-season, everybody across the country will say, yeah, we've had a great pre-season, it's gone really well, I'm happy with my squad. So everybody should be going into it, thinking we're going to be in the playoffs, or we're going to win the league, or whatever. I think realistic for us is to get into the playoffs. I think everybody probably expects Tottenham to win the league this season. I think that's the given, that's everybody's expectations, and everybody else is then fighting behind them. So for us, playoffs and a good cup run would be ideal for us. And I do believe that with the young squad we have, that we are getting better as we move along. So we can be in and around and in the playoffs come end of the season. You know, we're happy to play anyone in those one-off games, and we know we've always got a chance. And if that happens, who knows where we can go from there.
Ben?
I guess what it sounds like, finish as close to Merthyr as possible. we're in a slightly different boat in that I think we were, whilst Merthyr were a point off, I think we were 12 points off, and 12 points in any league is a big gulf to be making up. We think we've done that a little bit in terms of our consistency. You need a little bit of luck through seasons. You want to keep your best players fit. There are some formidable teams in there that, whilst they may not have started particularly well, they will have the ability to just go and reinvest and almost have a brand new 11 come Christmas. And you do have to fight against stuff like that. But in terms of the guidance from the board, it was just to continue seeking improvement. It's something we've done pretty much year on year for the last 5 years. I mean, it's rough numbers, but we've basically improved by about 7 to 10 positions every year for the last 5 years. And that's, I mean, obviously that will put us up to nearly winning the league, which is not possibly on our radar this year. But yeah, we've got the squad that we think are going to be at least competitive and will be in most games. But to the earlier point, to bring it kind of full round conversation, someone referenced the fact that if you don't play well in this league in any given game, you probably won't win. So the consistency of performance has to be sky high across so many weeks. And I do think Tottenham are probably going to be the most consistent team. The early start would suggest that, and the bodies that they have and the depth that they have would confirm it. But thereafter, like, it's anyone's league, and I fully expect there to be probably at least 12 clubs that across pre-season and conversations with players were saying that we want to get a playoff space, and make no bones about it, we're one of them. Like, we obviously want to push up there, otherwise what's the point in playing? But the guide from the board is just to continue the improvement, and if we're good enough at that point, then so be it. Because to their point, the lead doesn't tend to lie.
And lads, I mean, what going into this season? I mean, for you though, is it forget about AFC Tottenham? You want to win the league, or is that your sort of mentality, sort of week in, week out?
I think that's sort of been the ambition for the past 3 years since Paul's come in, is really to sort of get promoted, come out of this league, really. Sort of been growing season on season, getting in, like, edging closer. Obviously, like Reddy said, missed out by a point last year. So I think the goal is definitely to do one better and get promoted out of this league. And then obviously alongside that would be a nice cup run to go with it, really.
Tom, I mean, so Matty, so are you looking to, get your hands on a bit of silverware at the end of the season?
Yeah, that would be nice, obviously. But I think it's quite evident everyone's favouring Tottenham, but that doesn't necessarily always materialise, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to win. What they're certainly going to have this year is a very good team and a good squad and a lot of money down there. And like Dan alluded to, not just Tottenham, but there's a handful of clubs there that we'll play prior to Christmas, and then you don't recognise the same team after Christmas because there's so many changes, because they're in a position that they can do that. Obviously, ourselves and Basingstoke, we're not in that position. We you pick a squad that's gonna carry you right away through from August to the end. There may be, you know, some tweaks along the way, but 90% of that group are gonna remain. And we do believe in our dressing room that we can have a right good go this year. You know, we felt there was an opportunity missed last year because We'd win eight in a row, or we'd win five in a row, then we'd go and lose five or six in a row, and that simply isn't going to cut it. You're almost better off winning three, losing one, winning another three, losing one, than doing what we did. And we fell short in the end, but yeah, we shot ourselves in the foot, really, if truth be told. So I think as a group, we just want to improve and make sure we're a bit more consistent this year, and come March, April, make sure that we've locked that playoff position in. But from now until that time, it's going to be really, really difficult, because we're all saying this, and there's 23 other teams in our league saying exactly the same thing. So they all have the same ambition. But that's why we love football, and that's why we're competitors, and we just give a right good go. And myself and the other 18 lads and the five, six, seven members of staff, we will give it our best shot. And I say it before every game that, if we leave it all out there, what will be. And if we fall short, we fall short. But all you can ask for is to give it everything. And like I said, if that means we'll end up in the playoffs, brilliant. If not, no doubt we'll just give it everything that we've got.
Apologies. Just one last question for you guys and Murpho as well. It was that last season, 1 point outside the playoffs there. Is there one game that you can sort of look at and go, that's the game that cost us the playoff place? Was there one there that sticks in your mind?
For me, yeah. It was Bracknell away. We went there with a points cushion on Bracknell at the time, and they went down to 10 men with a long period left in the second half, and we chased and chased looking for a win, and almost to put a nail and put them to bed for the rest of the season. And then they broke away and actually won it. So a draw would, I think, I don't know if I might be wrong, it would have kept us about 7 points clear with the game in hand or something like that if we drew. And then they scored, like, it was like 97th minute, I think they scored like a pen. And then the following game, they scored 95th minute. And it was just something happened that afternoon where you just go, I think that could bite us in the backside, and it was, in my opinion, it was, even though we lost through the games after the Bracknell, it was obviously Bracknell that pipped us to that last position. And I do think that was a big dagger for us. For me, anyway, that's how I felt at the time when we lost away at Bracknell. That was a big game changer on their season and our season. We started going, uh-oh, rather than, picking up a draw and game manage it, and then thinking, right, that's that. Play the match rather than, bigger picture chasing 3 points. Just get them, seal them off. Because we were always in the playoff picture pretty much from August, and I just felt when we lost that game, I don't know. It was just that thing of, we didn't, we don't. That I think that was a big game for me personally. That was the game that, that was a big swinging point for me.
Would you agree, Craig?
Yeah, it was a massive run, and they did fantastic. They went on a great run, had a lot of fixtures, and took a hell of a lot of points and did well in playoff. But yeah, the other thing with us was we dropped too many points to sides further down the league as well, I think, through the course of the season, which costs us. And you're not going to get in playoffs if you're doing that. There was too many points when you look back that it's okay if you're losing the sides at the top. That's likely to happen in those big games. It's such a close competitive league, it can happen. The sides who are down the bottom, you have to be taking more points from them. Not saying every point, but we through with those draws and things we should have won, and maybe a few defeats we should have taken.
I think the form guide, Craig, wasn't it? We had like a form guide from January till April. We were like bottom three in the form guide. So we were brilliant till Christmas. And then we had like a lovely little Christmas January run, didn't we? And I think we had that sort of period of 10, 12 games that when certain teams post the form guides in their in their programs, we were in like the bottom three for like 10, 12 games. And, even though we were still in the playoffs, that form guide was that's what crippled us really, and sort of that wasn't good enough in that large spell after Christmas and up until March, April. So it was hard to recover from that then.
And even the last day, I mean, we had a round, I think it was a seven we won by on the last day or something. Last day it came down to like really late on where we're kind of on the pitch, people with their phones having a look to see how the results are going, and one more goal we might be in. And I think it was really disappointing at the end, and we need to make sure that we're not in that position again, that we need to if we're going to be in there, let's give it our all and be a little bit more consistent and not wait till the last day of the season to try and sneak in there.
Well, listen, guys, a massive thank you for coming on tonight. Really appreciate it. Really enjoyed it. And it's a massive thank you for coming on. And best of luck with Sholin and Tottenham at the weekend. And I hope you both get the points you want.
Great. Thank you very much, Dave.
But for me, thank you for everybody for watching again. We'll be back again next week. Don't forget Wednesday as well, 7 o'clock on the Summer League YouTube channel. You'll get to see the goals of the week. It's a bumper edition, actually. It's a 2-week one this weekend, and it's just taken me 10 hours to edit it. So I'm not finished yet. So there's a lot of goals in there, some fantastic goals in there as well. So make sure you watch that, and some cracking own goals as well. So it's well worth a watch to see some of them that fly in, because I did have a chuckle at a couple of the own goals this week. There was a couple of real beauties in there. So make sure you watch that. 7 o'clock on the Summer League YouTube channel. But I'll be back next week, and on Monday, of course, with the non-league show. Until then, good night.